your judgment day as a believer already happened. It already happened. This is it. This is what you're studying. You're studying your judgment day.
And it's found here in John chapter 19. Hi there. Welcome to the program. This is Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon continues his journey through John. We find ourselves in the last couple, three chapters. Chapter 19, verses 1 through 16 today, a message called The Day Jesus Took Your Judgment. It's there that we catch up with Pastor Chris, focusing in on the judgment that is laid upon Jesus for your sake, for mine. Herein lies an amazing view of the gospel. Join us as we explore it together. Here's Pastor Chris and today's program.
John chapter 19, beginning at verse 1, we'll read all the way through verse 16. This is the word of the Lord. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he's made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered the headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" Jesus gave no answer. Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat in the place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So they delivered him over to them. He delivered him over to them to be crucified. There ends the reading of God's word. I'm convinced that the more we take time to meditate and to think about the passion of Christ, the death of Christ, what he actually endured for us, what he actually went through for us, it has an effect of strengthening us in faith and helping us in the difficulties of life that we're in to understand all that God's given us in the forgiveness of sins. Whatever it is in the world, in the struggles with sin and hardship and sorrow and death, even maybe chastening discipline in our lives, it is with the purpose in studying the death of Christ that we would know that we are sons and daughters of the Lord. So as we open up John chapter 19 today, I don't want to let you forget why there's so much detail here, why there's so much detail given on the death of Jesus on this great day here of his being delivered up, that we, Lord, that we would have a good understanding of the Lord's gift to us of a substitute. That Jesus has come and Jesus has stood in our place, that Jesus has bore the wrath of God for us on the cross, so that we today would understand this great truth that I want you to take with you when you leave today. Your judgment day as a believer already happened. It already happened. This is it. This is what you're studying. You're studying your judgment day. Now, I think that's really important, don't you? Because a lot of people fear what's coming. A lot of people are scared about what's coming, and rightly so. But if you have Jesus, that's taken from you. This is what this is about today. Really, the most important truth that could be given in the scriptures, Jesus, as the Heidelberg says, has freed us from the severe judgment of God. So study it then and understand it and appreciate it. Because that's exactly what this is about. You have before us today, if you can call it this, it's everything so wrong about what's happening here. The arraignment and then trial, the charge and the verdict. And then we're going to end with the meaning of it all in the big picture of Scripture. This arraignment and trial is we've been looking at now and studying for the last few sermons. And now we have come in John chapter 19. You notice we have looked at these trials, the second round of trials. The first was, you'll remember, by the Jews. It was what we call the church trial, the ecclesiastical trial, if you will. It was totally and full of hypocrisy. It was corrupt. There's nothing right about what they did. They didn't follow their own laws as they pompously parade in this section. We have a law. Hypocrites, Jesus had called them. The trial of Jesus had taken place at about 1 in the morning, 1 to 3 in the morning. Who does that? Who does that? Unless you know that what you're doing is going to cause massive upheaval, evil, because it's wrong. They questioned him viciously about his doctrine. Remember that? They wanted to know about his disciples. They were trying to pin him as an insurrectionist. After being before Israel's corrupt leadership, Annas and Caiaphas, he is led away to Pilate's Praetorium. This was Pilate's turn now to deal with this man. The Jews have left here. They wouldn't even step into the courtyard. So this is really a remarkable moment to show how you can make yourself perfectly prepared for the Passover and be the biggest hypocrite ever. They wouldn't step into the Praetorium because they wouldn't put their foot on the land of a dirty Gentile like Pilate. You see the animosity between these two groups. The civil and the ecclesiastical here. Pilate can't stand the Jews. The Jews can't stand him. So here we are. Never mind that they are murdering the Son of God. Hey, at least their hands are clean for the Passover. Jesus is now before Pilate, the governor of the southern half of Palestine, given by Rome. The questioning has begun. Remember the issue with Pilate. The issue was he has one concern. Jesus is claiming to be king. That was what the great charge was. This is what will come out today with the goal of taking down the throne of Caesar. That was what Pilate has come to this conclusion of, that this is what ultimately they're saying. But something else comes out today. Pilate questions him. In verse 38, we have this statement. In fact, numerous times it's said, I think that John wants us to keep hearing it. I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. It's a really important point to the whole message of the Bible, actually, that we'll come back to at the end. He's not a threat to the throne of Caesar. Remember when Jesus walked in and Pilate's questioning of him? The first question was, are you the king of the Jews? That wasn't a curious question. That was a scoffing question. Is this who they brought to me? This little beggar, this guy, he's not a threat. What can he do? What can he do? So Pilate made an offer to the Jews. And since it was their custom to release a criminal at the feast, they could release Jesus, but instead last time we ended with them releasing the notorious thief Barabbas in his place. So here we are. Pilate still is not rushing into this. Pilate still is not rushing into this. When crimes were committed, the Romans took this very seriously. which I think underscores and makes the point that God didn't just allow this to happen by the Jews. Jesus was constantly saying he's going to be condemned and judged by the Gentiles, to put it in a civil arrangement under a court trial so that we would understand something throughout history, something very important. There would have been nothing justly done by the Jews except grab the stones. So here we are, according to Roman law, no one could be put to death unless he had been brought to trial, where he had to be arraigned, confronted with the charge, and then given the opportunity for defense. It's not so unlike today. He would then, if he were found guilty, die before the Gentiles. Paul said this in Acts 25, you'll remember, when he appealed to the Roman system and them honoring the Roman system. This is not the custom of Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets the accusers face to face and has opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charge against him. Well, the hypocritical Jews, where are they? So, they have no legitimate charge against our Lord. Let me make that really clear today. There was not one legitimate charge against the Lord. Pilate's looking for a way to release him. Pilate's searching for a way. Pilate knew that there was something about this man that was abnormal. There was something wrong about him. There was something that didn't compute with Pilate. The question in Pilate's mind is a simple one. It is, who is this? He just has no cause to put him to death. Again, the adversarial relationship between he and the Jews is important to note. But what should a just ruler do? What should a righteous ruler do? It's almost as if everything is working against the death of Jesus in some ways to make it happen. So that we understand what the Bible says and we study it carefully to understand what Peter would use in his first proclamation at Pentecost, they took by lawless hands and crucified the Lord of glory. He didn't deserve this. He didn't deserve this. He was not guilty in himself. Big point. Now, this is where we enter the text today at John 19. This is where we've come up to. That gives you some background here to help with what's taking place. In verse 1 of chapter 19, we read that Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged. Don't ever read over that too quickly. That's an important moment. Jesus constantly talked about that this moment would happen. The Son of Man would be scourged. Scourging was an awful form of torture. Jesus spoke of it as such. A flagellum was a whip with many strands, about 3 feet long, and on the end of it was attached bone or lead balls, so that when it hit your back, it immediately split it open. Eusebius talks about the horrendous nature of this act, that you would see veins and arteries. So you can imagine how gory this is. They would take the criminal, they would strip him of his clothing, they would beat him to make a real good point until he's covered with blood. It was unimaginable pain, so much so that most of the time, many of those who received it actually died from the scourging itself. So first was a severe lashing on his body. Then comes the terrible shame. In verse 2, the soldiers, we read, twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. I remember they're in the courtyard of the Praetorium. The Jews don't see this, but apparently Pilate ordered, in addition to the scourging, this crown of these thorns, large piercing thorns that would dig into the skull, causing obviously the imagery of blood running down the face. Then they take a purple robe that was represented with the royal color, and they dressed it over his wet body. John doesn't give this, but we know that they put a reed in his right hand with the goal of mocking him as a king, because a king would have an iron scepter. He has a reed in his hand. Now, I always have to stop and remind ourselves, who are we talking about here? this is really something to think about. With one call, the angels could come down out of heaven. It's meant to put us in horror and dismay. Sometimes I think we read the Bible and get rather pious and realize that these sort of things are taught to us to show us how violent human nature really is, how awful human nature really is, and we need to feel it. We may justify it on the movie screen and then come to the Bible and say, oh, before our kids, and this is important. In verse 4, Pilate went out again. Behold, I'm bringing him out to you. Now, this is the imagery here. I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. What Pilate was doing was hoping one thing would happen here, which is really interesting. If he humiliated Jesus enough, if he beat him enough, if he made him full of shame enough, they would say, that's good. Let him go. Pilate would not then have to execute a man he knows there's no real charge against. So it really does show that even in the most corrupt leadership, there still is a semblance of what the Lord wrote on the human heart, and where we see justice still desiring. There still is that here, isn't there? Verse 5 says that Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate presents him. Behold the man, here he is. The judgment hall in Pilate's praetorium was constructed in such a way that it faced the street. So what you had here, it would be similar to a raised patio or terrace, where it would be out on the main street, and the people would gather around for these great moments of Pilate sitting down and rendering his judgment, and then they would listen to the cases, and Pilate would put on his royal apparel, and he would sit down and bring the accused out, and then once the charge had been in, he would render the verdict. So here we are in a public forum, public street. He's brought Jesus to his accusers. He's brought him out and says, is this enough? Behold the man. Pilate's also mocking. And Pilate brings him out, and you could imagine the sight here. He's covered with blood. He has on his head a crown of thorns and a robe of mockery. They say that with the scourging, many people could barely hold themselves up, which makes sense that he couldn't carry the cross and needed help. You can imagine the mob in this case. And we know what mobs are like. We've seen that in action. All the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the multitudes of the people. And what do we expect at this moment? Well, we expect mercy. I mean, if any of us love the Braveheart movie, we know that when he's taking it and dying, the crowds all yelled out, mercy! Give him mercy! Nothing. Look at this man. Did I do enough for you Jews to satisfy your desire of hatred against him? Won't you show some pity? I already released Barabbas, the notorious thief. I flogged him, and I've dressed him up. Which really was an act, I said, of mockery. Roman law required that capital sentences be accompanied by scourging. The decision to scourge Jesus first, before he made that decision before the determination of the case, before he would be crucified, says exactly what Pilate's doing here. This enough? And the ominous words come back from all the multitudes of the people. Crucify him. Crucify him. Not enough, Pilate. We want you to give him the most painful death possible. We want you to nail that body with those big nails to the cross that's put up for criminals, and you keep him there until he suffers the long, slow death of the cross. I believe John is really taken by this. Jesus was pure. Never lifted a finger to hurt anyone, did he? Spoke only the truth. Never sinned. Think about the testimony of Scripture. Never once sinned. Never abused anyone made in God's image. God so loved the world that he gave a gift. And this is what they did. After the flogging, after the beating, after the mockery, the rage was so fierce, all they could say was, crucify him. Get rid of him. Now, Pilate needs a charge. Second point, he's looking for the charge. Verse 7 says, the Jews answered him. As he's seeking a charge, that we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die. This is a new interjection. We know this from John's gospel. Now it comes out here in the midst of the arraignment and trial. We have a law. We ought to crucify him. He ought to die because he made himself the Son of God, which is exactly what they were struggling with the whole time. They knew what Jesus was claiming of himself. This is John 10. We don't want to stone you for a good work. We want to stone you because you make yourself out to be God. They knew exactly what Jesus was claiming. They knew exactly what was being said. Pilate hears that, and all of a sudden, you could see his face change. That one scared him. It's an interesting moment here. That one scared him. Pilate had no real knowledge of the true God. He was a Roman, and of course, the Romans had a pantheon of gods. And what they believed was often that one of the things that Romans believed was that in a mysterious way and a strange way, that one of the sons of the gods would come down pretending to be beggars among the people. Very superstitious was Pilate. Very superstitious.
Well, we will have to close out today's program right here and pick up Monday as we continue our look at John chapter 19 and the day Jesus took your judgment. You're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who will return in just a moment with a look ahead to our next broadcast. Questions, comments about the program, as always, are more than welcome. We'd love to hear from you. How's the program encouraging you in your walk and relationship with Christ? Reach out to us. Let us know, won't you? Our number is 888-504-8805. Or you can visit us online, agradio.org. Now, that is a great resource to have handy. Not only do we have past programs available online at our website, we also have jumping off points to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris and other friends of the ministry. Again, agradio.org. We also would like to remind you that you're a very key part of this ministry, Abounding Grace Radio. Through your financial partnership with us and prayerful support, we are able to continue this ministry, not only on this station, but others as well. So would you please consider partnering with us financially, whether it's a one-time gift, a monthly gift, no gift is too small or too large. Reach out to us again at agradio.org or call us at 888-504-8805. As promised now, once again, here's Pastor Chris to look forward to our next broadcast.
Hebrews says there's no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Here he is, not guilty. For our sake, this is one of the most glorious truths in all the Bible, beloved. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin, to become sin for us. Think about that great truth. Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we in exchange might become the righteousness of God in him. Now you see what's happening. The scourging, he's wearing a crown of curse. He's openly shamed. He's ridiculed. He's exposed. And he shuts his mouth. Why? Because he loved you. You were given to him by his Father. And he's willing to take all this so you never have to.
That is on Monday. Join us then. Have a great weekend. And until Monday, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.